Tonight, Father Rick will be giving our major teaching on the subject of humility and obedience. Father Rick?
Probably seem like pretty obvious topics or virtues, but it's not so much that we don't know what they are, humility and obedience. It's the question of how we actually put them into our lives. The other day, we celebrated the feast of St. Peter Claver. Peter Claver was a priest. I don't know what kind. He was in a monastery. I don't know what kind of priest he was. He was in a monastery in Colombia. His job, he took this on personally, was to meet the slave ships that came in from Africa. He would go and minister to the slaves. The situation, as you might know, is the slaves were purchased from their enemies, not the owner, the slave people, but the people that they bought were enemies of the people that sold them. They were other tribes, and when they captured them, they would turn them into their own slaves when they came over to Africa. They would give whatever trinkets or things that they gave these people, whatever it was that they wanted, and then they would take these people on board and put them down in a ship's hold for the journey, which would take quite a while because it had to go from Africa all the way around South America and then back up to Colombia. And of course, the people that bought the slaves did nothing for them. Whether they were hungry or sick or children or adults, they paid no attention. They put them down in the hold. They put them in chains, chained their hands and their feet to the floor and left them there until they got to the ports in Colombia. Somehow, maybe there was somebody that threw food down there at them. But they laid there the whole time in their own excrement, in the urine. And they died there, and they were sick there. And for months, they would be there until they got to Colombia. The first person to go down in those holds was Peter Claver. The reason I mention him is because in doing this work, he was hated by everybody except for the slaves. He never gave up on that. He did this for 38 years. His own monastery hated him. The people in the town, people that sold and bought the slaves, hated him. The people that smorted the monastery and ran the big plantations there hated him. And he didn't care. Now, I'm sure he did, in one sense, that he would have loved for the people to change their view, not so much about him as about the people that he ministered to. But it required a tremendous humility for him to continue to do this for 38 years and take the abuse that he received. He basically had very few friends, even in the monastery. When he took sick before he died, they put him in an out room in the monastery, and none of his brothers ever visited him. What they would do is get one of the new recruits, we might say, to the monastery to take him food. And no one visited him or did anything for him until he died. The bishop didn't like him. People didn't like him. The only people that liked him and loved him were the slaves. And when he died, they had a great celebration about this wonderful man who was so holy and good. But really, they were glad to get rid of him. That's humility. To come along and do the work that you know you have to do. And you don't care about what other people think about you. So often in our lives, that's how we operate. I don't care whether it's the job we possess, the house we own, the car we drive, people that we work for or work for us, our neighborhood, there is something about, I hope that people like me. I hope that they don't talk about me. I hope they don't hate me. I hope that the way I dress, people don't laugh. Or the way I keep my yard, or the kind of food I eat, or whatever it is. We worry about that stuff. Humility comes along and says, that doesn't really matter. Humility comes along and says, I open myself up to the grace of God. And first and foremost, I ask God, what is it that you want of me? And when I say all of that stuff about how we live, and I'm not saying that that means we go around and live like a slob, our house is like a pigsty. No, that's not what I mean. But what I mean is that we come to understand that I will live my life not according to the views of other people, but as it is that God calls me. We've had some very strange people in our church who really didn't care what people thought. Sometimes they thought they were very holy. Sometimes they thought they were crazy. But the people themselves were there doing the work that God called them to. We have St. Simon Stylites, the guy that spent his life on the top of a pillar in the middle of the town square. Never came down. Prayed day and night. On top of that, good weather, bad weather. People would bring him food. It's little clothes he wore, people would give him new clothes, take care of his waist. And he always stayed on that pillar. Slept there, ate there, lived there for years. For years. I'm not talking a couple of months. There was a nun who had herself sealed into the wall of a church. Never came out because she wanted to be close to Christ in the Eucharist. She had a little window that looked right out into the tabernacle of the church. She spent her whole life there when she got old enough. And she didn't care whether people thought she was crazy or not. She did this because God inspired her to do this. And she didn't worry about what other people thought. And we could name a whole list of people that did the things that God wanted in all humility, not because they didn't care about what people thought or how they lived, but because they cared about what it was that God was calling them to do and how to live. And that's what we have to do. We have to look at ourselves and say, how am I living? How I deal with the people in my neighborhood? How do I deal with the people that I work with? How do I deal with the people that I rub elbows with? How do I deal with the people in my church? How do I deal with my family and relatives? What kind of humility do I bring to those situations where what I want to do is reveal the love of God and not my own personal preferences? Am I willing to open myself up and say, this is what God asks of me? And whether they hate me for 38 years and despise what I do, whether I sit on the top of a pillar for 40 years because this is what I do, or spend 30 years inside a church wall because this is what I do, or because I go out into the desert and become a hermit for 100 years because this is what I do. Do I do it because I know this is what God calls me to and I am not going to worry about what other people think, how other people talk about me, how other people smear my name? Being humble is not coming along and groveling in the mud. It's not Uriah Heep squeezing his hands and saying, I'm a very humble man, when he's the worst person that could ever exist. No. There are people that are open to the will of God, and they will do whatever And if people don't like it, they will pray for them and they will serve them. All we have to do is look at Jesus Christ. There were many people that did not like him, but that did not change what he came to do. And there were people that were willing to mistreat him, but that was not a cause for him to change from what he was going to do. And this is the thing that we have to understand, that the call of humility is not to grovel. The call of humility is to say, God created me from this earth, and he has given me a gift. That gift is to be with him forever. And I have to understand where I come from. I have to understand that I'm dirt, and God has raised me up to everlasting life. So it's not that I'm worthless. It's because God has made me someone who has been given a tremendous gift. But I know where I come from. I know who I am, that God has called me to life, which I don't deserve, which I never did anything to cause me to be here, and that God asks us in all humility to serve him. And sometimes we say yes, and sometimes we say no. You know, when Peter at the Last Supper said, I will never deny you, I'll die before I deny you. Very shortly thereafter, he said, I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. And he regretted that the rest of his life. And when Jesus took him aside after his resurrection and said, Peter, do you love me above everybody else? And Peter was very humble. He learned his lesson. And the only thing he could say was, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus asked that several times. Peter, do you love me more than everybody else? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Finally, Jesus just said, well, Peter, do you love me? Period. Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. He had to learn humility. He had to learn to understand who he was, what he was about. And after that, then he understood what it means to be obedient to God. Because from then on, after Pentecost, Peter did not walk around his own horn. He had to humble himself. And it says that he had marks in his cheeks from the tears that he shed every day for the fact that he denied him. I don't know if that's true or just a story. But I could imagine that he did. But that did not stop him from doing what he had to do. He knew who he was. And that's what humility is really all about. Knowing who we are in Christ. And then opening ourselves to the obedience of his will in doing what he asks of us. And not worrying about what other people think or how other people are going to feel about it. But rather come along and say, God, I am yours because my life is your gift to me. And whatever you ask of me, I will do. I don't think we'll ever truly understand the heartache that Peter Claver felt by loving God as much as he did and loving these slaves that came and being rejected by everyone else. But he was true to himself, to his call, and to those he served. He never wavered. Well, maybe in his mind he did, but at least in his actions, he never wavered. And he did this year in, year out, month in, month out, week in, week out, going into these hell holes, bringing them salves and medicines and water and towels and wash rags and soap and food and the word of God. and baptizing people and bringing them the Eucharist and celebrating Mass for these people on these plantations. He wouldn't go to the homes of the rich. He only would visit those he ministered to. And loving what he did, but hoping that one day people would change, that they would come to recognize the worth and the value of these human people whom God died for and called to life. We live in that kind of age. We have these people that just believe that they should be exceptions to all the rules, that they can live their life the way they want, they can walk on people, they can step on them, they can destroy them, because it pleases them. And they can live their life regardless of any civil laws, break the laws, do whatever they want, kill people, hurt people, destroy people's property, do whatever, because they have not understood who they are. And they think this will bring them happiness, joy. All it does is bring them degradation. Humility and obedience go hand in hand. When we know who we are, if we are sincere with our Lord, we will know what he asks of us. And we will be obedient to the God who loves us and not to the thinking and behavior of our world. You know, when we look at our world, people back then said slaves were not human. And we are now killing children because we say they're really not human. Because it's our pride, our self-centeredness, our gluttony, our desire to have only what we want, and the invitation that God gives us, we throw to the wind. In all humility, we don't have to be mean to these people. We don't have to overreact. But rather, look at the image of Christ. He continued to reach out. He would correct. He would call people for what they were doing. But it was always in the hope that when he touched someone and did good, that it may open the eyes of those who came along and said, we are free to do what we want, to live our lives as we want, and we have to pay no attention to anyone else. Jesus tried to awaken people to know the truth of their heart, which is that God loved them and wanted them to know his goodness and his love. He gave us freedom, and we can say yes or we can say no.